This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 875. I am Lisa Sheps. I'm joined on this dreary, rainy Austin day by my lovely co-host, Ms. Nicole Shiro.
Hello. I think the rain's already come and gone.
It's already come and gone. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Mistreated. It is Wednesday, May 5th, 6th. And on the show today, we have Ground Floor Theater and their show, Pueblo Revolt. Later on, we'll be talking to the folks at Communication by Captivation and their show, Wild Card Wizard of Oz. And we, of course, will have news and views of all the world of theater in New York, Austin, Boston, Chicago, Albuquerque, and all things Tony Awards. Stick with us.
Change the voices.
Okay. Happy Wednesday, Nicole Shiro. Welcome.
Happy Wednesday, Lisa.
Good to see you. How are you doing today?
Good to see you. I'm good. I'm here. It's been busy. Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a Wednesday.
Lots of busy, 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 busy.
Yeah. Anything to report? Or you just want to just jump right into it?
We can jump into it.
Okay, well, here's what I want to jump into. I need to tell Kim Simpson what a wonderful job he did at International Folk Bazaar. He does these wonderful kids' music shows internationally. They're just so much fun.
Yes, he is awesome like that.
He is awesome. I also want to say, speaking of Kim Simpson, that the opinions expressed on Offstage and On the Air, not necessarily those of Co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, or anybody else. It's just us.
Just us.
It's just us. So yep. You know that. Let's introduce the guests here. Familiar to all of us, Offstage and On the Air.
Yes, we know these peeps.
We do. Guest co-host extraordinaire, Carl Gonzalez, welcome.
Extraordinaire, thank you so much.
Extraordinaire.
Love it.
And we have AJ Reyes. Hi, AJ.
Hello.
And the incomparable Benjamin G. Bazan.
Wow, good afternoon, everyone.
I just wanted to say incomparable. Did you recognize that singer? It was not a show tune, was it?
Well, no, but neither's the host for the Tonys.
Boom. Neither is the host of the
Tony. You see what I did there?
Love
she
it.
Did. So that was, I can't say the title on the air, but it's Blanking Perfect by Pink, who is indeed going to be the host of the Tonys. And I don't know, did you and I,
I was in the middle of the season. I was texting and blowing up your email or your phone.
Did we have
a convo on this?
Did we have a convo on the air about this?
No, we
had
not. Part of that? I was not part of the on-air convo.
That was actually you and I, Lisa.
All right, so what do you think, Nicole, about having Pink?
In the words of Nancy Kerrigan, why?
Oh, my God. That's
just saying.
Too soon.
No, really, is it too soon? I mean, really.
It is.
They made that Tonya Harding movie with Margot Robbie and Allison Janney, and everybody loved that. So,
I did like it.
See?
Yeah, it was a good movie.
All right.
Yeah.
So is it too soon? No.
It's never too soon.
Listen, I have nothing against Pink. Nothing against Pink in any way, shape, or form. I just don't get the connection. It's like throwing pasta on the wall and hoping it'll stick. These people who like Pink are not tuning into the Tony Awards, and they're going to get bored after 5 seconds and probably not care. Maybe a few will. But I think it's disrespectful to the people that work so hard every year to be honored to have someone that's like, she's not even like a producer or in it or in the, like Candy Burris. I would get Candy Burris.
Well, she,
that I'd understand.
Her connection, as we said on this radio program, was she had two songs in two different Broadway productions.
Correct.
One of which was the one we just heard.
Yes.
Which was in Anne Juliet. But no, I.
It wasn't written for that. It was put in there
yeah.
and has a whole.
Oddly enough.
We agree. I know.
Completely.
I know, because there was a
anybody
lot.
Anybody disagree? Let's get some. You know, I did this whole disclaimer about.
Again, nothing
opinions,
against
so
Pink.
So we need
I
to have some
Pink.
Controversy here. Anybody?
No, I don't disagree. I love Pink. I'm a huge fan of Pink, and I heard she was hosting, and my first thought was,
it's my favorite color.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was some, like, weird April Fool's joke. I mean, I was traveling, so I'm like, am I reading this headline? What? And I right away contacted Lisa.
I would love to be proved wrong. I mean, if she does an incredible job, then there we go. But
I don't even think it's about that.
She will do an incredible job. I don't think that's it.
It's not about that.
She has no connection to theater.
I guess that's true, yeah.
That's like having Audra McDonald, who's everything, go in and host the Oscars.
True.
Doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
But I'd watch it.
Audra, but she's also
Audra McDonald. No offense to Pink.
Okay.
But that's a
we only have an hour, so we're gonna we're gonna switch gears. But we're gonna stay with the Tonys.
We talk back about Paddington.
No, we're not. We actually
every week we should talk.
We have no discussions of Paddington, although
we love him.
We just had one.
There you go.
So there it is. the Tony nominations.
My heart's full.
The Tony nominations are out.
They happened.
And very interesting this year, I think.
Why do you say that?
Well, it was a slow season. There weren't that many shows that were even. There wasn't a lot to choose from. We have four entries into the new musical, and I think there were only six musicals total.
Something like that.
Yes.
So the best new musical, Lost Boys, Schmigadoon, Titanic, and Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York. And Carl, how many of those have you seen?
I've seen Two Strangers, which was fantastic.
You haven't seen Titanic?
No, I have not.
Oh, I'm surprised.
So it's so funny, when Two Strangers Carry a Cake was doing its pre-Broadway run like a year or two before New York in Boston, Michael Barnes sent me a note and was like, oh, Nicole, I think you'd really like this. This is a charming little show. He knew I was going very soon and told me it was a charming show. So I have had my eyes on it for a bit and have been very
That's
happy
interesting. I wonder
to
what,
see seven nominations, that little I won- Strangers yeah. Carrying
I,
the Cake.
I wonder what about that did Michael Barnes think you would like? Just curious. I wouldn't have taken you for a...
I like sweet little shows. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, I don't see it.
I love Hedwig, but hello, I'm excited about Paddington.
All right.
So why is this strange?
All right, we're done with Paddington. We cannot mention Paddington
I'm
again.
I'm talking about a spectrum, Lisa, so...
And I'm talking about not talking about Paddington.
Okay, well, I need
anyway,
an example.
So, the
why
best...
Why would I not like a sweet
the best,
little show?
We're going to just drop it. The best musical revival, there's only three, Cats, the Jellicle Ball, Ragtime, and the Rocky Horror Show. And what do you have to say about that?
Oh, Cats should win.
Oh, okay.
I think it will.
You've seen it. I did not see Cats.
I saw Ragtime.
Yeah, you did see Ragtime, and you liked it.
Great, but I've heard nothing but incredible things about Cats. So
I think just the jam of what Cats is and
all
what
three
they
of
did.
Them have had really good press.
I guess, but when you take audience participation out of Rocky Horror, get the hook.
I love that you have no opinions.
None at all.
I am a little sad that Chess did not get that.
I was
nomination.
Surprised it didn't get a nomination.
I mean,
to
I
be
get
honest.
It's a little, it's an odd musical that got popular again because of Lea Michele being in it, but I'm like, I love it.
Excuse me. There was some Aaron Tveit in it, too. It was not all about Lea Michele. Sorry.
No, it's Tveit now, actually.
It is.
Okay, I agree
with
you on that.
Speaking of the Chess of it all, I mean, we're going to talk about this
again.
Snub for Lea Michele. Nom for Lea Michele. That's pretty interesting.
I just don't think it's the meatiest of roles that, no matter who is doing it, deserves the Tony nom.
True. Hmm. But
I don't think it has to do with the performance. I think it has to do with...
You know, say what you want to about Lea Michele. She has paid her dues.
Yes.
I think. Yep. I think she's appeared on Broadway six times.
Something like that,
Something
right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway. So the best new play, The Ballasters, Giant, Liberation, and Little Bear Ridge Road.
Yes.
And the best revival, Becky Shaw, Death of a Salesman, Every Brilliant Thing, Fallen Angels, and Oedipus. I refuse to call it Oedipus. I refuse.
Well, Tveit Tveit.
Tveit Tveit. It's interesting.
I honestly don't know. It'll be Every Brilliant or Oedipus, whichever way you want to call it.
Oedipus.
Oedipus, 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 what do you call it?
What I find interesting about Death of a Salesman in particular.
Ooh, people like this revival of it too.
They've like, it seems like every time they revive it, and they revive it quite often.
Yes, you and I have talked about
it. Always love it.
Yeah.
The Willie Loman actor is usually nominated, as is Nathan Lane for this one. I just find that interesting.
Yeah.
What is it about that property that either the Tony voters really like or is so good that it's that the production is always phenomenal?
I think they choose really meaty, hearty, great people to play that role.
Which meaty Hardy was my sorority name in college.
Yeah, and that role is a meaty, hearty. Like, all the people that have stepped into it hasn't been bad casting or shtick casting. Mm. It's been legit casting that these people can tackle those roles, and they're all very different, so they're not the same interpretation of said role.
Yep.
That's my two cents.
Ben,
I
you
no
and AJ have any
right.
opinions?
I don't know enough about any of it to. Yeah.
Yeah. You should just do what I do. I make it up.
In that case, I think that you are all right.
Yeah.
Everything all of you said about all of it is all correct.
There you go.
I can't agree more.
Best Direction of a Musical. The nominees are Michael Arden for The Lost Boys, Lear de Benesse. God, I usually can pronounce that name. For Ragtime, Christopher Gattelli for Schmigadoon, Tim Jackson for Two Strangers, Carry a Cake Across New York, and Zavalon Levingston and Bill Rauch for Cats the Jellicle Ball.
Meow.
Meow. Okay, who here has seen Cats? Like the regular Cats?
Meow.
Here.
No.
Yeah, okay, yeah, me either. I've talked about it on the show. I mean, I lived in New York for most of its run in New York. Never saw it.
No.
Haven't even seen, I tried to watch the pro tape of the original.
Oh, yeah, no, don't do that.
Can't do it.
It's actually, you know what? I was fascinated by it as a child. Okay. Do I want to go home and meow all the time and listen to everything? No.
I would think as a child, and from what I could see, I mean, visually it looked phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
I think visually, and think when you think about it then, it was really about dancing. You didn't have all these dance-centric kind of shows, but to know that it was taken from different poems and something bigger was created in it had this fantasy to it. And then there was like a cat flying in a tire, and like things didn't fly all the time in the 80s. There was a lot of cool things to it that made it like momentous.
Yep. So there's some interesting little things about some of the nominations and nominees. One was June Squibb, who's nominated for Marjorie Prime. She is the oldest performer to ever be nominated for a Tony. She is 96 years old.
Wow. I love everything about that.
I love that.
And she says, quote, "I'm thrilled with what this nomination will do for my career."
I love her even more.
I know. I know. So that's cool.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
And here's some interesting little factoids that you can impress people at parties about. Every nominee in the Best Book of a Musical category is making their Broadway writing debut.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
That's amazing.
Including Cinco Paul, which I'm surprised. I mean, I don't think I ever heard of Cinco Paul before Schmigadoon, but I assumed he'd been on Broadway before. But those writers are for The Lost Boys, Schmigadoon, Titanic, Two Strangers, and The Lost Boys. Why does it say it twice? I don't know.
Hashtag typo.
Yeah, maybe I did it. And then also for the Best Original Score are all first-time Broadway composers and lyricists.
That's awesome sauce, too.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. What other little goodies have I? That's it for that. And then there's this lovely article in the New York Times about snubs. It's interesting. They talk to their different theater people. But one of the things we were talking about, there were fewer eligible shows. So 30 shows were eligible this year. Last year was 42.
I was about to say it was in the mid-40s, but I was a little wrong.
So a lot of...
42 still, that's 12 less shows.
Yeah. That's a lot of shows. Listen to these stars that got snubbed. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here it goes. I'm going to read a list. James Corden, Neil Patrick Harris, Bobby Cannavale, Cynthia Nixon, Jean Smart, Taraji P. Henson.
Jean Smart one I was surprised by.
I'm surprised by a lot of Taraji P. Henson, Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah.
He now I cannot pronounce his
Keanu
name.
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves. That's not hard to pronounce,
and
but
Alex
I can't do
Winter.
It. Neither of them were...
No, but their colleague
Michael.
Is for best... Yes, yes best feature yeah. performer.
Neither were all of the Bear people. John Barenthal, Ayo Edebiri, Eben Moss, Bacharach. They didn't make it. Or Adrian Brody.
Oh, Fear of 13.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? They talked about the divas that didn't get... nominated. One was Lea Michele. The other was Christian Chenoweth.
Again, I'm not surprised by that. And that has nothing to say with their lack of talent.
I know. I'm just.
Yeah.
I'm reporting the news. But we had two SNL alums that are nominated.
Yes.
Rachel Dratch and Anna Gasteyer.
Yeah, Anna Gasteyer is everything, people. She's so good live on stage on the Broadway. If you ever have a chance to see her live on the Broadway... It's on my suggestion.
On the Broadway.
Yep.
And then...
the Anna Geister.
Many of the shows that we would consider more the darker variety, the not-so-fun shows, like Queen of Versailles, Call Me Izzy, Art, Beaches, Proof. Snubbed.
You think Art is that sad and depressing? Like,
I don't.
Beaches?
Art's
like,
a comedy.
Yeah, well, Art's a comedy. Yeah.
It's on the list. Well, that's deep. It's not necessarily
okay, deep, but like yeah. Beaches and Art. I mean,
no, they're not equating them as.
Got it.
They're not.
I'm taking a problem with this.
You are a very
today.
Hard audience today.
Sorry.
No, not
but
you.
I feel
her.
Like no, oh, her, Carl's okay. Carl's on my bandwagon. Stop.
I'm glad they're next to each other.
Stop, because he's over here hanging out with me. Toot-toot,
literally,
here
so,
we go.
We're just chilling out here.
There are four nominees for new scores. Or,
is there a fun fact to go with that too?
No, sorry, there were five.
Okay.
The fun fact is only three of them are for musicals.
Oh, but you know what? I have something to say about this. I love everything about that because I love plays with music and scores when they're thoughtful and done properly.
100%.
Don't disagree.
So
fantastic.
Good.
Like Sideman's still one of my favorite albums that I listen to. And I can remember these performances so in depth listening to this album. So I love that the complimentary soundtrack to a play is back.
So you're probably wondering which plays did they nominate? I'll tell you. Death of a Salesman and Joe Turner's Come and Gone.
I love everything about that.
Yep. It said for Salesman, Carolyn Schall wrote 40 minutes of moody music. That was so
that's
perversive and intense, you might almost call it a soundtrack.
Interesting.
I think we need to do that more, honestly.
Yeah.
More plays with soundtracks, honestly.
I'm mixed about that. I guess it would depend on the piece. And again,
I think
Death of a Salesman wouldn't be one I'd think of, but I have seen plays that are basically have underscoring throughout.
Yeah.
And sometimes I like them and sometimes
has to
I
be
don't.
Thoughtful and proper.
All right. Let's see if I have... yes, I do. So the Lifetime Achievement Awards
goes to Lisa Sheps.
Woo! Goes to Artistic Director Andre Bishop, Jules Fisher, the lighting designer, and the playwright and director James Lapine.
Nope, James Lapine's not happening. It's Lisa Sheps.
There you go.
Sorry, James Lapine. I love you.
Accepted. We can have time for a couple more things, but let's talk about Evita, who's coming into Broadway.
Yay.
It is.
It's officially, I mean, we knew it was.
Yes, I did.
But you know,
yes,
what's, do you
did.
Know what's missing from it?
The balcony.
The balcony scene.
The balcony scene. Do you know
well,
why?
Well, the balcony scene won't be missing from it. The balcony scene will not be staged the same way it was staged in the West End.
Yeah. And the reason being?
We don't have theaters built the same way.
No, that's
like
not the reason, actually.
There.
Safety,
well,
right?
Well, that's part.
It's safety.
It's also safety in New York and America rules.
Well, and then Rachel Zegler is kind of controversial.
Correct.
And
that's why I always said
and
America.
The United States of America is not the safest place to be anymore if you have opinions.
Yep. Oh, opinions, gross.
I know.
Who has
know.
Opinions anymore?
So I found that interesting. And one of the things that was, I think one of the, well, it's
I can
to be
say it will not be just done straight, like in the script. It'll have its own different element to
it.
It just will be different than the West End.
Yeah, sure. It'll probably do what West Side Story did. She'll do the balcony scene from a upstairs dressing room, and we'll show it on video.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
Okay. West Side Story. Oh, you mean Sunset Boulevard?
No, it was West Side Story had a whole outdoor scene.
Outdoor scene.
Not this. No, it was the clothing yeah. shop.
Oh,
scene.
Okay.
Yes.
Not the movie. The play.
Ariana DeBose. Right. That the. Recent revival.
Yeah, they had a whole scene that was played in a dressing room.
Right, I'm caught up now.
Other,
yeah. I was getting the director. Like,
yeah. They had a live video thing. All right. We talked about Liberation earlier. They just won the Pulitzer.
For drama,
which is good. And I thought this was...
nominated for 5 Tonys.
Correct. Operation Mincemeat is going on tour.
Yep.
Not coming to Austin.
Nope.
Coming to Fort Worth.
Yep.
Might be worth a trip.
I want to check it out.
Maybe. People are saying good things about that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I think we're going to stop there. Unless there's anything anybody else wanted to talk about. AJ? Ben? What's on your mind?
I was going to say, back in like 2013, I got to perform a play with Michael Patrick Thornton, who was nominated for Waiting for Godot.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. Yeah, that's sauce. Cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, I like that.
I do have one other thing about the Tonys. This is an interesting thing. So, you know, there is usually an award for a Lord Theater, a regional theater.
Yes.
This year there is not.
Oh, yes.
But
yes,
there is an award for the League of Regional Theaters.
Make it make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
That's what I'm just saying. Make it make sense.
Yeah. So let's go out with hearing a song from one of the nominated musicals.
Which one?
Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York.
Nice choice.
Thank you. This is the Hangover Duet. We'll be right back.
Love it.
Okay. Wake up! Oh my God, I killed him. Have I killed him? Is he moving? Don't go speak to me!
We
are
back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole and Carl and AJ and Ben. All of us.
We're here. We made it.
So now we're going to reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're here. It's because they're in Ground Floor Theater's production of the regional premiere of Dylan Christopher Cheeto's Pueblo Revolt, directed by the one and only guest co-host of Offstage and On the Air, Carl Gonzalez. And
we are so entertaining ourselves today. It's fantastico.
And it's a good thing we're in the big studio because we have the entire cast of the show.
I know. How did you pull those strings to make that happen, Lisa Sheps?
It wasn't easy. We did it. We have AJ Reyes.
Hello.
And Benjamin Bazan.
Hello.
Hello. I should say that AJ and Ben were on the TV program yesterday.
They were on the TVs yesterday.
It was a lot of fun.
They were on the local Fox affiliate.
Yeah, we're just on our press tour right now.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, Carl, tell us about this show. What's it about? What is it?
Sure. So a lot of people don't know, including me. I actually had to learn a lot about what the Pueblo Revolts were when I started reading the script. And it happened in 1680, and the play is about two brothers who are living through the Pueblo Revolt and just what it means to actually resist against a power and what it means to still find joy within trauma, within tragedy. And yeah, it's incredible. Ben and AJ, I say this so many times, they are incredible. They don't leave the stage. Besides our intermission, they don't leave the stage.
Ben leaves the stage a couple of times.
I do leave
maybe
a couple of times. Yeah.
But sure, but not enough.
He orders a sandwich. Right, she takes a quick snooze. Yeah.
I think sandwiches have been ordered in this show.
Oh, yeah, I guess they have. Uh-huh. Thank you. Yes. Spoilers.
So you said that you learned about the Pueblo Revolt, but you really didn't tell our audience what the Pueblo Revolt was.
I guess I didn't. So the Pueblo Revolt was... I know, I just got excited. The Pueblo Revolt was a community of Native American Pueblos in what we now know as Santa Fe, resisting the Spanish for almost, I think, a total of 12 years, but we're only exploring a year's worth of time.
And if I'm not incorrect, and I think I am, it was the very first revolution in this continent.
On this continent,
yeah. So Good for y'all.
Look at you with the facts.
Right.
So, Ben, tell us about your, what part are you playing?
So, I play the character of Bahoma, which means the water is hitting. Mm-hmm. And
rain,
I play,
basically.
I play the older brother who's, you know, tasked with taking care of and protecting his younger brother who, you know, his parents have known that he's a little bit different. So, you know, a lot of my character arc is trying to figure out how to best protect my brother and also figuring out what it is to mean a revolutionary when revolutions aren't really a thing in the moment.
Yeah. And AJ, tell us about your character.
I play the younger brother, Feem Wim. He is gay, and a big part of his journey is the fact that before the Spanish invaded, Native American cultures largely considered gay people closer to the creator, and the Spanish have come in and decided that homophobia is the way to go. And so he is, in addition to struggling with the takeover that has happened to his people, he's also trying to figure out how he can still be himself and exist.
Yeah. So heavy duty material.
Yeah.
Right? But it's presented in a fun way.
Yes.
That was a question. I know I didn't go up.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
I'm not sure is it a statement.
It was meant to be a question. I'm not very, this is my first day on the job.
No, yeah, of course. There is a lot of humor throughout the play, which is very much mimics real life. You know, we go through some hard times and through struggles, but we always find a way to find joy and find humor through the tough times.
Yeah. And I am fortunate that my character gets a lot of the jokes. So sorry about it, Ben.
Yeah.
But I get to make me laugh on stage, and that's my favorite part.
Well, not only do you get the jokes, but the audience gets the jokes too. Yeah. Okay. Well, they didn't get that one.
I gave you a little rim shot.
Y'all are going to do a little scene from the show, correct?
That's correct.
Yes. Carl, do you want to set this scene up?
Sure. So this scene, I don't actually want to say when it happens in the show, but this scene is all about Feem Wim finding a creature that he has never seen before, and that's all I want to say about it.
The creature's kind of very, very well known in the state of Texas.
Yes, creatures.
Okay. You guys ready? All right.
Yes.
Okay.
We are ready.
This is AJ Reyes and Benjamin Bazan doing a scene from Ground Floor Theater's production of Pueblo Revolt.
I'll call you later. Enjoy the boat and steer clear of icebergs. Bye. Kisses.
Kisses? Cute? Maybe. Concerning? Yes.
Guillermo says hi.
So good to hear that.
Was that sarcasm?
No, I'm so happy you have an imaginary friend.
He's not imaginary, just invisible.
Do you need to see the medicine man?
I mean, maybe the medicine man's son.
I'm gonna tell Guillermo you said that.
He doesn't mind. We have an open relationship.
Shut up.
But perfect timing. I have something to tell you. The most fantastical
thing. I don't
thing.
Care what info you got from Guillermo. I'm much more interested in our current situation.
And cloth bags, clearly.
Clearly.
What's in the bag? No, actually, me first. You always go first.
That's definitely not true.
Me first. I saw a jackrabbit with antlers.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I took a walk to the river, and I was just sitting on my rock I like to sit on. You know the rock I like to sit on.
How could I forget the rock you like to sit on?
Exactly. And then, to my right, I saw this bush rustling. I threw some bread. I was eating bread. I threw some bread at it, and out hopped the rabbit with antlers. It was like a jackalope.
A what?
A jackalope. That's what I'm calling it. A mix between a rabbit, a jackrabbit specifically, and an antelope. Also, Frank. I named him Frank.
Ah, yes. Frank. Classic name. And yet, somehow with the additional clarifying information, I'm even more confused. An antelope?
It's like a deer.
Then just say deer.
But it's not a deer. It's an
antelope.
An antelope.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, what did this jackalope do?
He took the bread, looked up at me, blinked, and then went back into the trees.
The bush.
The bush.
That's it?
Yes, why?
How clear of a view did you get?
Not very, to be honest.
It wasn't a jackalope.
Yes, it was.
But you didn't see it clearly. It was probably just a rabbit, and the branches of the bush looked like antlers. No, brother, what you saw was some sort of amalgamation resulting from an optical illusion in which you imagined a harmless rabbit with antlers, but turned out to be merely branches of the bushes the rabbit was hiding in.
How would you know?
I know animals.
Name them.
What?
Prove you know animals. Name all the animals.
I'm not going to.
I think you could.
Right. Let's,
oh my gosh,
we have time.
That was funny.
Wonderful. What a great scene.
Thank
and
you.
Of course, jackalopes. We love jackalopes. So, yeah. Carl, how did you approach this? This is, it takes place in 1680, right?
Yes.
And yet this sounds very contemporary to me.
Sure. So Dylan Christopher Cheeto did the incredible thing of wanting to make this piece, even though it does take place in 1680, show that the issues that they're having are timeless.
Yep.
And I think the way that we're approaching the piece, and my assistant director, Astrid Angel, who's doing an incredible job, Woo! We wanted to approach that and to get serious on the radio, is that a lot of us come from the colonized and the colonizer. So what does that mean when we're approaching this piece? And we had a lot of discussions on how to accurately represent what's going on, because we all have different goals with this piece, but mine is that, and I think what Dylan says is that he wants to make sure that this piece shows that if we don't change the way we think and change the way we act, we're going to continue to relive history over and over again.
Yeah. It's an interesting if.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Living in the era we're living in right now.
Mm-hmm. More if than when, yeah.
Yeah. How often do we
look
just
back at thousands of years?
Yep. Well, a lot of fun. Is there anything else that you want to shout out to with regards to this production? Anybody in your production team you want to talk about?
Oh, so many people.
Like all of them.
Yeah, everyone. It's been amazing.
We are in tech right now, and everyone is killing it. Everything is coming together so well.
Yeah, I mean, our designers are incredible. You know, I've worked with Johan and Kitty App before.
Our sound designer and our prop designer.
Yeah, and then I've definitely worked. It's my first time as a costume designer working with Cece. And they've been incredible.
Cece Sanchez.
Mm-hmm. And then Maggie Amendades. This is the third show we've worked together on set-wise. All of this, though, is being perfectly managed and led by Mia Gomez-Reyes, Megan Ortiz, and Ty. I don't know Ty's last name.
Lyles.
And they're doing such an incredible job. Especially, like, complete shout out to Mia. That rehearsal room has ran fantastically, much better than I read it, honestly.
And lighting, expertly done by Luis Sandoval.
Thank you so much. I was like, no, I know I was missing someone. And lighting, Luis Sandoval, first time I've worked with him, and definitely not the last.
Well, wonderful. When does this show open?
Yeah, we open Thursday, don't we?
Yeah.
I believe that's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
That is the 7th, and how long do we run?
May 23rd.
And I understand, Carl, because actually, you know, you are the director of this piece. You're also the chair of the board of Ground Floor Theater. I believe the Ground Floor, I don't know how I know this.
Sure.
But Ground Floor Theater has a commitment to accessibility. Therefore, whenever they can, they stream their productions. Are they streaming this show?
We are streaming the show two times. If only I remember which nights they were. Lisa, do you by any chance have the information or look that up?
I don't know the dates, but it is Thursday, Thursday the second week, and our night, the 23rd, the final night on the 23rd.
Which, if you don't have the calendar, you can find the information at groundfloortheater.org if you're looking for it.
Yep.
I know it's there.
That's true. Well, great. I will say break legs.
Thank you.
Best wishes. I have a feeling I'll be there at opening night.
No way.
Cool if you were. Really? We're so excited. We'll welcome you with open arms.
I'm excited to see the show. You know,
she'll be receiving her Lifetime Achievement Award from the Tonys.
Yeah.
Yay!
The scene you gave me really piqued my interest. I want to know what happened. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you, Lisa.
That was Carl Gonzalez, AJ Reyes, and Benjamin G. Bazan of Ground Floor Theater's production of Pueblo Revolt, playing May 7th through 23rd at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, groundfloortheater.org/Pueblo. And this is a song called Strong Enough, from a musical about indigenous folks called Distant Thunder. We'll be right back.
Awesome. Night here with my friends under the big sky. Pass
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We're here.
That was fun.
That was fun.
I'm looking forward to seeing that show.
I know.
Actually, so
you've seen
obviously
it multiple
times. We all know that I'm with Ground Floor Theater. It's a fun show. It's really a lot of fun, and it's quite beautiful. And the ending is really beautiful. There's some smoke involved.
Oh,
yeah.
There's a smoke
budget.
But
you know what there isn't?
Fire budget.
Or a blood budget.
Or a blood budget.
There actually is
a water budget.
There is a fire budget.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. There's a fire budget. When there's smoke,
there's fire. Correct.
That's what they said.
Ah, we are funny.
All right. Locally, anything? I don't have anything I want to highlight specifically. Locally, anything that you can think of that you want to highlight?
I think we're about to.
We're going
to
go through the list.
Yeah, we're going to go through the list.
All right. Then you.
Well, no, that's not really. I was about to say that's a season announcement. That's not so.
Zach's season announcement. Yeah, so Zach just announced their season.
Yeah.
There's some highlights to that, like The Color Purple, which I like.
Yes, and actually, since we were just talking about Liberation, that Drama Desk winner and stuff, Zach will be doing
Pulitzer Prize winner.
Pulitzer Prize winner. Disney's The Little Mermaid, Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None.
My favorite. My favorite.
Go, Dad, before you say it. Oh,
too late. I'm sorry.
Go, Dog, Go. Yes.
So actually, I don't remember much of my childhood because I don't think I had much of one.
That was one of your childhood
books?
Go, Dog,
Go was a huge
See, I will love me. Your dog, just love my Paddington.
I love your Paddington.
See? And this is a bilingual one.
Yeah, it's even better. Because I was not bilingual.
No.
Not like I am now.
Peter Pan Goes Wrong and some other good ones.
All right. They can get information at ZachTheater.com.
Org.
And that's theater with an ER these days.
It is.
Them. All right, let's do our list. Do you want me to start since you started last time?
Well, yeah, you can go
ahead. All right, speaking of Zach Theater, they have Charlotte's Web running through the 17th. Dear Evan Hansen is running through the 31st.
Yes, and then at the Ground Floor Theater, Pueblo Revolt is opening on the 7th and running through the 23rd.
Austin Playhouse, A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Moida. Last 2 weeks, it plays through the 17th.
La Fenice with Bridgerdown through the 9th.
The Baron's Men, Merry Wives of Windsor, is playing through the 10th.
We will ease on down the road next week with Broadway and Austin and The Wiz running the 12th through the 17th.
City Theater has That Odd Couple through the 17th.
Now I'm going to have that song in my head again all day last week. Austin Shakespeare has Much Ado About Nothing, playing the 7th through the 24th.
The Heller Awards
are tonight.
Tonight. So that's the Heller Awards for Long Center.
Heller Awards.
We just shut each other
up.
The
Heller Awards for Young Artists.
Okay. And finally,
Communication by Captivation with Wildcard Wizard of Oz. We're going to speak with them in a moment. And that is running the 7th through the 16th.
And they are playing at the Square Rut Kava Bar. We're going to hear more about that in a second. The auditions, I really didn't have time to update this, so we're just going to see what we did last week.
Oh, there's a few still on here.
The citywide auditions are happening on the 30th and 31st. And if you're not familiar with the citywide auditions, please go to atxtheater.org and check it out. There are really great things for actors to do to be seen by a lot of producing organizations, including Ground Floor Theater. Changing Lives Youth Theater of Creative Action has got a teen violence prevention play that is auditioning on the 14th. Bottle Alley Theater is auditioning for Passage on the 12th. Druid and Bard, Much Ado About Nothing, on the 9th and the 10th. You can get information on that one at druidandbard.com. And now we need to talk about today in theater history.
Stuff happened, and Lisa's going to tell us all about the things from the past.
I am.
The history of theater on this day.
Thank you
way
for installing.
Back when.
Okay.
I was giving you time.
You did.
My little song wasn't going to work there.
We're going to start with birthdays because your good friend Adrienne Warren.
I know.
Today.
Isn't that awesome sauce? Do you know that she's going to be on the Broadway cruise that was just announced with the Patti LuPone and Norbert Leo Butts? She's going to be the Adrienne Warren is on that.
It's also the birthday of Cary Elwes and Geneva Carr.
Oh, I like them.
As well as Scott Frankel, Orson Welles, and one George Clooney.
Oh, I still think Adrienne Warren's the number one in that bunch, just saying.
Opening at this date is The End of the World, which opened in 1984.
I feel like it opens every day.
Me too. The very original production of Long Day's Journey in Tonight opened
the very,
in 2003.
Very first one. Okay. No. 2003? Yeah.
I know. You didn't let me get my joke in. Because
sorry.
You...
Okay.
Anyway, it is a revival, 2003. And then finally, not finally, there's two more. Deuce. Opened in 2007. Looks like this is with Angela Lansbury. I don't remember.
You know what? This is all vaguely coming now back to me as you bring this all up. And, oh, that's a rabbit hole. I'm going to have to go back down again. I know then, of this. I just need to jog my memory.
And then also opening is Glory Days, the musical. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a strange group. That's a strange today in theater history. You know what? It's also that weird time before the Tonys and
it
things
is.
Like that.
It
so
is.
That makes sense.
It is. It is. Well, let's take a little break and we'll talk to our next guest. And we're going to listen to From Glory Days,
which
is about a bunch of high school friends. This is called My Three Best Friends.
It's about their glory days.
It's about their glory days.
Yeah.
Here we go. Story of four best friends. We are back. Place. You're listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa and Nicole on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby 91.7 on your FM dial, streaming at koop.org.
Those are all the ways.
We're sandwiched here on Wednesday afternoons between International Folk Bazaar and
What's New Pussycat. Tracy Schultz.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Tracy Schultz, right. Tracy Schultz, what is new?
All right, let's introduce the folks that we have here. They are from Communication by Captivation and their show, Wildcard Wizard of Oz. We are lucky enough to have the director, Eliza Carey. Hi, Eliza.
Hi.
Okay, we have Katie Shanina.
Hello.
Where are you? There you are, over there. We have Shiri Dar.
Hi, hi.
And we have Giselle Albritton.
Hey.
Amazing. So we've talked to I'm just gonna say CBC, mm-hmm. Cultivation Captivation by
Communication
by Captivation several times. But you have a whole series of these Cards Against Humanity shows, yes. Of which this is one. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about it generally.
Yeah. Absolutely. So last year our shows were Wizard of Oz Against Humanity, that sort of thing. And this year we've kind of rebranded a bit to Wildcard Theater Presents The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
It's still the same way that we do things. So,
is The Wizard of Oz a show I should be familiar with? I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay. So it's this little show. It's been around for a little bit. It comes around popularity with other movies, Broadway shows, things like that.
I'm kidding. I've heard of it.
Oh, okay. Well, I just...
I played Toto in it.
Did you really?
I did.
Oh, we have a special Toto in our show.
Oh, good.
Oh, Lisa.
I could be the understudy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So tell us about your approach. What makes this... What is special about this particular production of The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is the traditional story, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and the non-copyrighted version, of course. And our actors and performers and crew, we all plan to do that show. And then when the audience shows up on performance nights, they're given cards from the game Cards Against Humanity, and they get to play it into gaps in our lines, change characters' names, really throw the cast and crew into chaos, and we just roll with it and keep going. And it's hilarious, it's super energetic, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, so for those, I mean, I'm familiar with Cards Against Humanity, but maybe some of my listeners aren't.
Yeah.
What is that
yeah,
game?
Yeah, of course. So Cards Against Humanity is known as the card game for horrible people.
That is why I don't know it.
Yeah. It is the card game for horrible people. The more G-rated version of it is called Apples to Apples. I would give examples, but they probably can't be on a radio show.
Okay,
what the cards are.
Yep.
But essentially, it can change a character's desires. So say the Scarecrow wants a brain in our version.
Which I hear he does.
He very much needs one. And in our story, the Scarecrow's desire is coming from a card from Cards Against Humanity. So some nights it could be a desire for ghosts. Some nights it could be, I really wish I had $10,000. Just whatever the card says, they have to roll with that for the rest of the show.
And so there's a lot of improvisation then in this.
We have to improvise based off of the cards because we have not rehearsed in that way.
Correct.
Yeah.
Katie, you're playing Dorothy.
Yes, I am.
Or as I wrote it, Dorothy.
Dorothy.
Dorothy. Yes. My fingers don't operate the keyboard very well. So this is interesting. So Dorothy is an iconic character. I mean, all these. So I just say
the story, every character is iconic. Everything. Yeah.
But you're like throwing wrenches into it. How has the process been for you so far?
It's been really interesting process. There's a lot of improv involved with not only learning the lines, there's improvised singing as well. Oh. So that's part of the show. It's been so fun getting to play new cards every night at the rehearsal. And now we're doing tech this week, and the fun's just going to keep on going.
So I'm guessing then there's a script that you memorized?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, not of course. Oh. I wouldn't say of course at all. Okay, so there is a script that then you just deviate from. Mm-hmm. Well, amazing. And so you have your witch counterparts, because we can't figure out whether you're a good witch or a bad witch.
Witch.
So therefore, we have one of each here, right?
Hello.
And Giselle, you're playing the Wicked Witch.
I am.
I believe that your version of the Wicked Witch is the hottest witch alive.
I believe that too. I think my Wicked Witch is definitely going to be a crowd shocker. I think it's a Wicked Witch that we haven't seen much of before, so I'm really excited.
Well, actually, this would be a question for all of you as we go through this. When I talk about these characters being iconic, it's really what most people know of the characters are Judy Garland, and Margaret Hamilton, those actors that portrayed them and the things that they brought to it. And now we now also have a little bit of Idina Menzel and Christian Chenoweth thrown in with Ariana Grande and,
Cynthia Erivo.
Thank you. So how are you taking a little bit from all of those actors and bringing that together? Are you bringing your own Wicked Witch to it?
I think my
and
process...
everybody else, when I talk to you, I want to hear more about that from y'all too.
Yeah, I think my process has been to take from the other Wicked Witches I've seen or the other Elphabas I've seen, and also throw in my own sense of like femininity to the Wicked Witch as well.
Cool.
I like that.
Yeah. Cool. Shiri, what about you? You're playing Glinda.
Hello. I can't really say that I'm taking any inspiration from Glinda's that we have seen. Mm-hmm. I'd say there's a decent amount of me in this Glinda, which...
Because you're good.
Yeah. Great. but I'm definitely more tomboy, and I like to fall flat on my face and do weird stuff. So I'm not very girly in this. I'm not very sparkles and rainbows, and I'm also not a great influence, but I try.
You're also not blonde.
I'm not blonde.
No, you're not. So you're just throwing the whole thing away.
Everything. Everything's going in the trash.
You're
going to
make
door.
Your own icon.
Yes.
That's amazing. So can you give me an example of a line or a scene that you have scripted that you have to veer away from, and how that might be?
Oh, I get it. Ooh. A moment.
Gosh, I mean, right at the beginning when Dorothy first encounters the wild cards and my character, Professor Wild Card.
Oh, you're in it as well.
I'm in it as well.
You buried the lead.
I was about to say, I didn't mention that earlier.
I love the spotlight.
You're Professor Marvel.
I've been trying not to put myself in it too much. I am Professor Wild Card, which is a gentle nod to Professor Marvel. in the original text. And so I kind of guide the audience through the experience and guide some of our characters, like Dorothy, into using the wild cards in her life. And there is one scene where I am noticing that there's a tornado coming, and that's very scary, and we better get home. And Dorothy is so excited by the wild cards that she decides it's not a tornado.
No.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of thing that could happen.
Okay. You know, we're planning like, oh, a tornado's coming, let's all run away. And Dorothy's like, no, actually, it's
like very key elements get a card.
Yeah.
The tornado.
Yeah.
My dog.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this. Now, before we're almost running out of time, but you're doing this at the Square Rut Cava Bar in Oak Hill. And so this is very much, you can go and enjoy whatever cava is.
Yeah, I can speak to that. I actually work there.
Of course you do.
It's like a Spanish bubbly.
Of course you do. I'm involved in everything, really. So I work at Square Root Cava Bar in Oak Hill, and cava...
Is it root?
It is root.
Okay, it's spelled rut.
It is spelled differently, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's a relaxing drink. It's a non-impairing drink, so it really just relaxes your muscles
and
your
body. Does it have 3.14% of alcohol?
It has
Oh, that's pie. Never mind. Sorry. I went somewhere else.
It has no alcohol. And they also have a pizza kitchen, too. Cool. So oftentimes
the pizza's so good.
Yeah, good. We're usually eating
like
pizza.
The pizza just got everyone excited.
So folks can come and eat and drink cava and enjoy
out.
The show.
Yeah, it's
great.
Is it
outdoors?
So the stage is outdoors. We do have an indoors option if the weather decides to get
weather's been
too
a little
method
iffy these days.
For us.
Great. When do you open?
We open tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
And you play through when?
The 16th is our closing night. And actually tomorrow when we open is a sold out show.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Good.
So
congratulations.
Get your tickets for the 8th.
Great. Where can folks go to get more information?
Oh, you can get more information at tinyurl.com/WCWOZ2026.
Oh, my God.
That's easy to remember.
I don't know how you had that off the top of your head.
I wrote
that
it down.
Too.
I'm going to suggest
I didn't see you looking.
I also go, well, you could also Google it, but communication by Cactivation. .squarespace.com also works.
Yeah, you can find all our information there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Great. That was Eliza Carey, Katie Shanina, Shiri Dar, and Giselle Albritton, all with Communication by Captivation's Wildcard Wizard of Oz, playing the 7th of May through the 16th at the Square Root Cava Bar in Oak Hill. For more information, you may visit
tinyurl.com/WCWOZ2026.
Or just Google it.
Yeah.
And playing from the hit Broadway musical Wicked is The Wizard and I. We will be right back.
And then I meet the wizard. What I've waited
for. We are back. We're off stage and on the air with Lisa and Nicole. You know what? I always say I can't wait to see a show, but
that actually sounds really good.
I want to see that one.
I know.
I don't always mean it.
Well, why are you giving your secrets away?
I'm just because everybody knows.
Why are you giving your secret away?
No, Well, you know that I have a penchant and love for Wizard of Oz to begin with.
Who doesn't?
Some people don't.
I know. I don't understand it.
I don't understand them either.
So I'm just going to say it again. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? But yeah, it looks like a lot of fun and very clever. I've never seen any of their Cards Against. Are you familiar with Cards Against Humanity?
Yes.
I am not.
Well, the actual game.
The actual game. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes me want to go look it up. Maybe first I got to get friends that want to play card games.
Oh, I'll play card games.
Anyway,
with you.
So we've done it. We've whiled away the hours, which is a lyric from The Wizard of Oz.
I knew where you were going with that.
And thank you for another lovely day.
It was fantastic. I always love spending time with you here on Offstage. And
coming up next here on KOOP is Tracy Schultz. He is going to tell you all...
What's new?
What's new? Pussycat? Whoa.
On you know what? What's new?
Yeah. And then we're going to go out on today's show with last year's Tony Award winner, Maybe Happy Ending. This is Then I Can Let You Go. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
They say when you're lovers, you gotta try dancing. So let's give it a try.